Welcome, folks. If everyone will take a seat, we're going to get going. Those of you listening at home on WGXC, welcome. We are live from the flowchart space. People are still coming in. Come on in. There are still seats. Welcome, welcome. And welcome those in WGXC land, ready for open ears. Welcome to the Flowchart Space. I'm Jeffrey Leppendorf, Executive Director of the Flowchart Foundation, where we explore poetry and the interrelationships of various art forms as guided by the legacy of John Ashbery. Up above us, across both storefronts, is the Ashbery Resource Center. If you're interested in Ashberiana, come back and visit us. There's a lot of cool stuff up there. And we do all manner of programs in this space, mostly free. If you're not on our mailing list, please do sign up near the door. There's a sheet up there. We don't email all that much, so you're not inviting stuff you don't want to see, I promise. This is a lovely, lovely program to start the year with. I'm so delighted to welcome two great friends of the Flowchart Foundation, Mark Novak and Stacey Szmasek, who have both been featured already here in different ways. Stacey most recently did one of our close readings in a virtual space. Virtual programs and poetry that Mark helped bring to life through his incredible project with low-wage frontline pandemic workers is one of the very first things we did during the pandemic, where instead of opening the space because we couldn't, we projected haiku written through Mark's workshops onto what was then a giant tent, a big yurt, across the street. That to us was a blank canvas, so we projected poems onto it. And it was pretty wonderful during the middle of a winter to have poetry scrolling by as traffic went on and people walked by and stopped and read aloud, which was really just beautiful to experience. Come on in, folks. Yeah, I know, it's a poetry event. We don't start on time, but you can still come in. So I'm going to introduce both of our special guests. We're going to hear a lovely presentation by Stacey with some pretty remarkable images. So those at WGXC, I'm sorry you can't see them. You're going to have to imagine them. But that's possible. Through the magic of imagination, you will see Stacey's wonderful images. And then Mark is going to read from Winter, which is a poem that is commemorate the right word? Makes art of the January 6th insurrection, which was, of course, just a year ago last Saturday. Hopefully the last one in our lifetimes, if not ever. That's wishful thinking. And I'll just say briefly, they're both going to have a chat afterward, but it's an Absiderian poem, and you smarties probably all know what that is, but just in case you don't, that basically means it's a poem that works its way through the alphabet. A, B, C, E, D, Absiderian. So I'm going to briefly introduce our two wonderful poets. Stacey Szmasek is the author of 7 books of poetry, most recently the Pasolini book and Famous Hermits and the chapbook 3 Novenas. She is a recipient of a New York Foundation for the Arts Fellowship in Poetry, a Foundation for Contemporary Arts grant in poetry, and of course, many of you know from 2007 to 2018, you made it past beyond 10 years. Stacey was the director of the Poetry Project at St. Mark's. And actually, both of our poets are, we can call, local community members, which is pretty wonderful. And Mark Novak's books include Shut Up, Shut Down, Coal Mountain, Elementary, Social Poetics, and Again, which is forthcoming and includes the poem that we're going to hear. That's going to be coming out from Coffee House Press this year, I think. Next year. So stay tuned. He, of course, as I mentioned, edited the book of the coronavirus poems, which are called Coronavirus Haiku. That's the wonderful book. Also guest edited a Why We Write issue of Michigan Quarterly Review, and he wrote an introduction to Silas Tisdale's When the Smoke Cleared, Attica Prison Poems and Journal. And he is, of course, the founding director of Workers' Writer School. And now, without further ado, Stacey Szmasek.
Thank you so much. It's a pleasure to be here. Thank you, Jeffrey, for your work here at Flowchart. And thank you to Mark for inviting me to join you tonight. Let's see. I guess I took this opportunity to write an artist statement. So before we get on with the slideshow, I'm just going to read a little bit about why I did these drawings. I started drawing birds during the pandemic lockdown in 2020 when my partner Kimberly and I were living in Tucson, Arizona. Does the sound okay? Okay. Specifically in response to hearing that Araya, which is kind of like a big ostrich or emu type bird, bit the Brazilian president, Bolsonaro, as he tried to pet it at his castle where he was recovering from the COVID that he denied existed. Shortly after I read that, I heard an article that an eagle attacked a drone and sent it to the bottom of Lake Michigan, and there are other reports of eagles attacking drones. And then there was that, I don't know if you remember, there was that fly that landed on Mike Pence's head in the debate in October of 2020. So I drew that fly. And then there was a goat that ate a police officer's paperwork and then head-butted the police officer. So I was just started kind of amassing all of these stories about animals coming out of the mountains during quarantine. And, you know, just kind of, not to anthropomorphize, but, you know, one can imagine they were kind of reveling in the abandoned streets of our cities. And I even unearthed a story in 1924 about a turtle who bit a police officer's toe clean off along the banks of the Hudson in New York somewhere. So I kept a drawn record of all of these animals acting in ways that could be interpreted as anti-authoritarian against the state. And I posted them on Instagram in a series I called When Animals Attack, ... Another element of this project was then sending the drawings to friends and in some cases selling originals and prints to stay connected. Personally, it really uplifted my spirits to have this visual way of expressing myself and connecting with people added to my mix. It felt like an extension of my love of journal keeping and poetry and my love of photographing people. So I kind of approached these animals with portraiture in mind. Because I wasn't really conscious of it in the beginning, but I'm very interested in the bodies. I'm just always like interested in the face and the head, and I always start with the first thing is the eye, or the eyes, sometimes if there's two eyes. I really became obsessed with vultures because of their role as nature's cleanup crew and how misunderstood and vulnerable they are because people don't think they're cute and they associate them with death, which of course we as a culture like to repress. But I found out that even in other cultures and countries, these predatory and scavenging birds are at risk of lead exposure when they consume embedded lead shot or bullet fragments in carcasses and gut piles left in the field by hunters. And that is why many of these birds are endangered. So vultures, I would say, I think I have three represented in this slideshow, but by far my most oft-drawn bird. And they continue to be really important to me, and you know, I see them most days, I would say, flying around in the Hudson Valley, which is exciting because when I was living in the desert, I never saw them. Let's like look at these guys together. Oh, I would like to see them. Can I kind of spin around? Is that okay for the... Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. So, oh wait, can you go back? Okay. This is, well, you all know what this is. This is an American Eagle. And this, yeah, this, many of these I've sent to friends, and these are just images. I don't have them anymore. So a very close friend and poet of mine owns this one now. Okay, slide two. This is a California condor on the verge of extinction, but there's been pretty good luck with bringing them back. And I think recently they came off of the extinction list, but I was I really liked the feather boa look on this one. Okay, the next one. It's a barn owl. And the next one, a burrowing owl. They're very tiny. And the next one, a crow. I've drawn a lot of crows, and particularly like using this template with just using different colors. So I think this guy appears again in a different color scheme. Next one. Another condor. Next one. Okay, yeah, that's a raven. I started experimenting with text, so it's a humanoid. So I think this is a nice tie into your piece because the ravens and crows tend to be the ones that have something to say. The next one. And this is what they say. They never forget the face of a foe. And I don't know if anyone's read about, there's been these studies that if you wrong a crow, crows like in the whole area will know. And they like they communicate information about their enemies. You know, so be careful. The next one. Yeah, this is a lappet-faced condor, I think native to Africa. And almost extinct. This is a palm nut. Okay, next one. Palm nut vulture, which looks very much like a hawk, but is a vulture. And the next one, that's the peregrine. Next one. This guy is a beautiful Philippine eagle. And my dad commissioned this. And it's framed in my parents' house right now. And the next one. Okay, this is George. George is a 38-year-old turkey vulture who lives in a sanctuary in Pigeon Forge, Tennessee, American Eagle Sanctuary. And something, I can't remember what his backstory is, but he can't fly, so he wouldn't make it in the wild. Okay, next one. This is also a turkey vulture, but a baby or a young turkey vulture. And this is George again. And this is a white-tailed hawk, and that is actually a quote from T.H. White's book, The Gosh Hawk, which is a very famous nature memoir. That's all of them. I think, will there be a chance for questions after when we're talking, or? Yeah, I don't. Does anyone have any questions about anything? I do them pretty quickly. I don't. I would say 2 hours is generally how long one would take. I don't want to be kind of. I mean, I'm not a trained artist, and it's not something that I even knew I could do. I don't know, pandemic hobby, but it's like just something I started doing, and I was kind of surprised that I could do it. I think part of the importance to me is to do them quickly and not be too like precious about it or like too worried about mastery. Oh, good question. These are all pastels. Very cheap pastels. Oh, what materials, medium? It's just chalk pastels on a variety of drawing paper.
Are they big?
No. Like maybe 11 by 13. No. And most of them are from photographs. I would say all of them are from photographs. Oh, yes.
I want to ask about the circle that's behind many of them, because in one case it just looked like a halo, like a Renaissance red portrait.
Yeah.
And I wondered if you had any feelings about having done these circular shapes.
Do I have any feelings about it?
About having done.
Yeah. I felt conscious that it looked like both things. Yeah, and I liked that. And it wasn't like, oh, I'm going to draw halos around them. It was a moon. But it's funny now that I'm like working at Hawthorne Valley Farm and pretty much exclusively drawing cows now. Occasionally, when I take a picture of a cow, the sun hits in such a way that it does form a halo. So I've drawn a few cows now that have halos, especially a cow named Donna that has passed. She always gets a halo. That's a good question. It hasn't kind of organically happened yet. I think that they do seem related to me, but my brain—I find drawing actually very relaxing, and writing to be kind of anxiety-provoking. So it's kind of to me offers like a different way of using my brain and a different way of thinking about what line means. You know, when a line to a poet is kind of like an area of obsession, and for me, and in drawing, I'm just like, get it down, you know. It's just kind of like, it's more of a kind of freeing experience where I don't have to like worry about my identity. I have no identity as a visual artist. There's like, you know, nobody cares. It's funny. Yes and no. There was a cow that I drew. It's probably like my best cow drawing, and it was a cow of a cow named Happy. And my brother was like, how much do you want for that? And I was just like, with $300. And I didn't think he would do it, and then he like Venmo'd me the money. So I was like, all right, well, I guess it's going in the family. So he's got it, like, in his house now. So I figured it's like, I felt like I couldn't part with it, but at least I can visit it when I go to Milwaukee, Wisconsin. But, I think there's a few I probably wouldn't part with. But for the most part, I like to share. I like to send them out, give them away. Possibly. I mean, I feel like my work now is so informed by my daily life and the realities of my daily life working on a farm. And there's a lot of cows that are coming into the work, so I can see it would be cool. I would love it if some of my cow drawings could be in a book. Middle of nowhere. It's the center of the universe. What are you talking about?
Where is this farm?
Yeah, I just, you know, I grew up in a, I didn't grow up in a city or in a big city. So for me, New York was like kind of the, I had to adjust to New York. So being in a rural place feels a little bit more at home for me. Thank you all for your wonderful questions. And I'll be coming back at the end, so.
Hey everyone, when this last book came out, Social Poetics, it was scheduled to launch in March of 2020, and I had a big book tour together, and we all know what happened in March of 2020, so I was never really able to do any live book events for it, and I only brought it today because there's this, Stacy's in the book, and there's this image that I looked at this morning, for a conference that I had put together. There were a group of bookstore workers at a Borders bookstore, if people remember Borders, big chain, big box bookstore, and they were unionizing their bookstore in the early 2000s. And I put together this organization called the Union of Radical Workers and Writers, and we put together a conference where we invited bookstore workers from all around the country to come out. Stacy slept on, I think, a yoga mat with Rob from Woodland Pattern on my apartment floor. And the date of it was January 17th, 2004. So almost exactly 20 years ago next week. And so the conference was called Resist Retail Nihilism. And this flyer shows Holly, one of the bookstore workers from Borders. You know the Edward Meyerbridge photo of the horse and its legs coming off? Well, we tried to reproduce that with a bookstore worker shelving books and the motions happening for that. So 20 years ago. That was so great. When I decided I went to a local event to kind of launch the chapbook in a way, I knew I wanted to do something with Stacy because our paths have not crossed enough. And I saw these drawings. And during the pandemic, for me too, these birds of prey, right, Sophocles' carrion birds, became really significant. So the book itself that will be out, the larger book, again, the last word in Trump's Make America Great Again, the title is actually Ellipsis Again, is a series of four longer Abecedarian prose poems, fall, winter, which I'll mostly read from today, spring, summer. And the fall one, I just wanted to read two prose poems from fall because it's a lot of fall is about I live in the eastern edge of Columbia County, right by the border with Massachusetts, and I found myself spending so much time on Route 20. And if people know Route 20, it's, you know, got the Lebanon Valley Speedway and about 17 dollar stores. And I was on it all the time going back and forth and wrote a lot of this stuff just while driving, taking notes, pulling over, etc. And the birds make a presence in these poems as well as in the poems from winter. So just two from fall. The first one is the O poem, which has this connection to the owls that we saw, and it's probably the very earliest one I wrote in the book. I found myself early in the pandemic just sleeping with the windows open in those first months, and the owls were so talkative, and we were so isolated, and they were having so many conversations, so I tried to imagine what the owls were talking about. Owls out in the woods behind Office Depot. The odds have been against us from the onset. Obedience, obesity, alcohol, opioids, owls out behind Office Max too. Owls in the old oak trees out behind the boarded up Old Navy. Once the wind did blow through trees like these and we were here to witness them waver. Overcast clouds, old effervescent decaying crops. October's over and so is Halloween. old corn stalks and older gourds, maybe somewhere in northern Ohio or Oregon or any ordinary place where we held each other like only we can hold each other. Sure it was ending, it would end. Sure the shopping malls would permanently close. No more overtime and only so much overdraft protection. Everyone reading this now is eventually going to die. Just ask the owls, the ones in the woods behind old spaghetti factory. We're cooked, meth maybe, frozen fish sticks or banquet turkey pot pie from Dollar Tree. Moonshine, Oxycontin, in the pine grove out behind the shuttered old country buffet. Just listen to the owls. And this one is totally Route 20. If people know the Waste Equip building on Route 20, makes an appearance in this one. This is the e-poem, and it came out a couple of months ago. Ann Boyer was doing this magnificent job in the New York Times, putting poems in the magazine, and I was so happy to get the Waste Equip headquarters on Route 20 into the New York Times. This is the e-poem from fall. Encyclopedias and empires go extinct. Eternity isn't an option. Enjoy the evanescent moon before it evaporates into another eerie dawn, eerie day. Shuttered used car lot across the street from Waste Equip headquarters sells eggs for $3 a dozen and flies a Blue Lives Matter flag. It's the ecosystem nowadays, the Anthropocene, chickens coming home to roast. The rent is overdue. Eventually, we won't be hired anymore, won't be here anymore. It happened at the Energizer battery factory in Burlington, Vermont. Imagine the Energizer bunny with no more jeu de voix. We are committed, quote, we are committed to making our colleagues' transitions as smooth as possible. So start searching for jobs on Indeed. Please, it's always been about entropy. At either end of Lake Erie, the abandoned factories, Buffalo, Cleveland, Toledo, Detroit, though a few factories have been gentrified into condos for the elites. Drive through Albany and head east. Drive from Pittsfield to North Adams to the Vermont border. Endless empty parking lots, endless erosion. It isn't erroneous to think this way. It's the essence of this country. The evacuations will be everlasting. And now just a few more. So these, the birds of prey make an appearance in, I think, just about every single of the 26 Abecedarian prose poems in winter. And this is sort of like a, not sort of, a documentary of January 6th, kind of trying to simultaneously be historical in the narration from the beginning of the day at the Save America March through the evening of January 6th, but also using this organizing system of the alphabet to try to think through it in a different way. You'll hear a couple of Trump tweets in what I'll read from Trump's massive Twitter archive that is searchable and you can use it, as well as some quotes from, I watched these endless, you know, C-SPAN and that put out all these live cams from the whole day. So I just kept watching through endless hours of these live cams while writing and jotting down notes. And I'll read a half a dozen or so of these, but thanks to Kenning Editions for putting it out. It's a free download, so you can just go to kenningeditions.com winter and download and read it until the book comes out next year. And thanks, as always, to Flowchart. It's like been multiple times here and been to other events here, and they've always been great. So thank you for hosting us. All the hats are MAGA hats. That's MAGA with two A's. It's agitprop, after all. Barricade fences, American crows, Save America March. Yesterday, Trump tweeted, Antifa is a terrorist organization. Stay out of Washington. Law enforcement is watching you very closely. It's the 61st time he's tweeted about Antifa, BLM, Antifa thugs, Antifa scum, Antifa anarchist, Antifa androgens, etc. But But this morning, it's all camouflage. It's all MAGA hats. This morning, it's all a sea of whiteness, an absolutely white sea. These people aren't going to take it any longer. Queen's Bohemian Rhapsody blares from the loudspeakers. American flags fly behind bulletproof glass. All American, made in America. The China virus, the scam of mail-in ballots. American barn owls, American psycho, Anglo-Americans, American dream. Make America great again, a phrase as old as Ronald Reagan. So pure theft in American history, America with two A's. Everybody knows it. The smoke is rising already, rising again. The letter C. Carrion birds, cantankerous crowds, overcast skies concerned with what's beneath them, a citadel, a circus, an ocean of flags and camouflage, a white sea, a cold and brackish pond at least, a swamp for sure. But now the caravans are forming. Build a wall, construct a new narrative, a more contemporary conclusion. Collision, collusion, this enormous crowd, this great country. Khaki and blaze orange, the colors of this conflagration. Don't tread on me, flags, caustic and coiled, fire engine red MAGA caps. And if you don't fight like hell, you're not going to have a country anymore. Cold cases, collateral damage, a colossal carnival, the commons versus the commoners, clearinghouses, House of Representatives, distant slaughterhouse workers forced to work through COVID-19, cajoling cliques, mobs coalescing, clementine-colored hair. So we're going to walk down Pennsylvania Avenue. I love Pennsylvania Avenue, and we're going to the Capitol. Cooper's hawk, more crows. Hear ye, the town crier cries out to his acolytes. To the Capitol, come one, come all. From the loudspeakers, Elton John's ballerina. From the loudspeakers, Village People's YMCA. It's true. It's all true. I'm not going to read the F poem. But if you look at it in the chapbook, what I did is watch the video for all the huge flags everybody was flying, and there were like 100 different ones. So the F poem is actually in the shape of a flag and documents all the flags that I could find there that day. So this is a point where the marchers are leaving, marching toward the Capitol from the eclipse. After the presentations and Trump speaking there behind the bulletproof glass and all of that. So we're at the beginning of kind of the attack now. The letter G. Gates break. Great neighbors break certain fences when they want. Police barricades, bike racks, galvanized chain link fence, gates at which these neighbors gnaw and gnarl, many wearing baseball caps, Trump ones, MAGA ones, American flag hats. Old glory, once upon a time is generally once upon a time. Picture garrisons, gizzards, bludgeonings, guillotines. It's ghastly out here. It's grotesque. All these great white neighbors, like the great white ghosts gone before them, the ancestor kind, their kin, most given male genitalia by their God, to be honest. They see a gap between the gates and the gatekeepers whose blue lives so mattered to these once great neighbors whose blue flags they once flew from their porches and American-made pickups. Trump 2020, fuck your feelings flag, flies right in the face of a cop, goading them on. No great horned or great gray owls here, no guardian angels or guard dogs, just landed gentry, goatees, gristle, guts. There's going to be a gulag, no guidance, no grace. Just the great white neighbors gorging on their greatness again. I'll jump ahead to the letter K. Any kind of king is still a king. Any kind of cadaver is still a cadaver. Death knows this, kinda. Undertakers undertaken it, kinda. Priests, kingmakers, queens kept by their kings. Kinships, the king's ships, kingfishers, the kiss of death. Fly the flag in the king's name. Break barricades and windows shouting the king's name. All hail, Sig Heil, Oye, Oye, our king. Mandarin-headed Mandarin. Kiss the ring of the Kaiser. Kiss the ring of the Caesar. Kiss the ring of the Tsar. Kamikaznes, Kalashnikovs, any kind of king is still a caliph. Any kind of king is still a Khan. Death has known this for centuries. Centuries know this, kinda. Security guards secure it, kinda. Flags fly with a monarch's coat of arms, chanting the king's name, shrieking the king's name again and again. Trump Towers, Trump University, Trump National Golf Club, Donald J. Trump State Park. Repeat after me. Any kind of king is still a kingdom. Dukes, oligarchs, rise, repeat. Overlords, autocrats, dons. Any kind of king is still a king. Just a couple more. This is M, a little play on M-A-G-A. Make America gasp again. Mar-a-Lago Americans grandstanding again. Macabre America gyrate again. Maximize American gods again. Malcontent American gringos again. Maquiladora American-made garments again. Merciless American America gimme gimme again. Masturbate American glory holes again. Moan America groan again. Meltdown American gruesomeness again. Muckraking America gerrymander again. Memorialize American guys again. Mutate American gents again. Moguls American greed again. Mad Hatters American guillotines again. Mock America guffaw again. Malicious American grubbiness again. Magnify American gravitas again. Megaphoning American graybeards again. Muster American grudges again. Mansplain American ground swells again. Menacing American groupthink again. Mutilate America genuflect again. Multi-barreled American grievances again. Meanwhile American graveyard grenades again. Mostly American graveyards again. Make America guns again. M16, AR-15, Glock-19X, AR-16. Multiply American gravestones again. Manufacture American ghosts again. Three more. Because the ravens, always. If there is still an America after today, ravens will devour it. Ravens feed on garbage on the outskirts of the suburbs, follow wolves in the wilderness, peck on the at the remains of a roadside deer carcass. Great white neighbors invade the Capitol rotunda. Q shaman poses his superior posture upon the dais. Remember this, the ravens are watching. They feed on live and dead birds, bird eggs, doves and pigeons, kittiwakes and terns and murrelets, flickers and woodpeckers. Outside the Capitol building, one white mister, a red Trump 2020 scarf draped around his neck, blows a kudo horn. Another great white neighbor in an aqua QAnon hoodie shouts, "We the people, we are the storm." Soon there will be thunder and ice, predictions of freezing rain. Everywhere there are Gadsden rattlesnakes. Everywhere there are rats. Ravens know this. They eat locusts, ants, scorpions, snails, slugs. Renegades? Rebels? Roadkill. A Blue Lives Matter flag rips through this early January wind. A raven whistling, or just after. And at the end of the night, Y and Z, the last two. Yes, tear gas and flashbangs disperse the mob on the inauguration terrace. Yes, the yowling continues. And yes, dusk comes as it always does. Yellow-vested cops who are beginning to matter again. Great patriots, Trump calls the great white neighbors in a tweet. Remember this day forever. Yesterday is further away than tomorrow. The naysayers still naysaying, but quieter now. The out-yelled still out-yelling, but quieter now. Soothsayers soothsaying. Betrayers still betraying. Yes, eyelashes still lash at the dimming of the day, dashing out the fires on the stairs of the U.S. Capitol. What has burned, yet there is still so much more to burn. So yoke the oxen to the new year. It's only 6 days old. Yes, years from now, history will still look like history. The voiceover might even say that the yardsticks have been moved. You'll stream it on YouTube. NZ. Zeitgeist of the white American era. Zoom out from Zachary Taylor to Pizzagate. Zoom in to Zero, Zilch. A great neighbor in red MAGA hat holds a bronze statue of Trump aloft in his left hand. Sign of the times. Bedazzlements, embezzlements, a blizzard of huzzahing white neighbors. So great. Or maybe just the unleashing of the zealots. Maybe just the unmuzzling of the buzzards. Again. The buzz of the streetlights as night comes on. It will still get darker and darker still. Cue the harps and the zithers. Cast the bronze sarcophagus. Zenith to Zed. Thank you. Is there a way to have the images back up as we talk? That would be great. Thank you. Okay. Thanks. I'll just hold it. Hello.
Hello. That was great. And I find myself, I mean, as you've shared, we've known each other for at least 20 years, and as a documentary poet, this seems different than maybe your typical choice. And I'm, you know, just based on my own responses to watching, you know, the experience of like watching Trump speak for elongated times, I'm just wondering what that experience was like, if you had to kind of like inure yourself during the research process, and if like your choice of form addressed, gave a container to maybe like some upset, or you know, with that whole process, research into a more reified form. What that was like for you?
Yeah, the first poem that I read a couple pieces from was all written in these kind of fall months from the Biden-Trump election, right, of 2020. And so I felt like I was already like staring at a lot of don't tread on me flags and, you know, Trump flags flying as I drove those roads and kind of taking those notes down. And then watching that video over and over just became really like a process of discovery. You know, you have the, I don't know if people were watching on January 6th as it was happening, right? And there's kind of like one level of like, I don't know what the word is, shock, disgust, et cetera. And then you start like going on C-SPAN at 9 in the morning and watching this feed that goes to like 8 or 9 at night. And you start making these discoveries, right? Like in this research process. And so it was like, you know, it it was simultaneously like horrific and surprising, and not that we should be surprised, but like, you know, I was doing the flag poem. I had no idea, you know, it's we're in this era that, you know, is very different than how it used to be, right? Like, I don't know about you, but I can't imagine if I happened to ever like a presidential candidate that I would purchase a large pole and a flag and go running around and waving that. And so that so many people from so many different, representing so many different states, organizations, honestly, like cults, basically, like political cults, right-wing, alt-right-wing cults, right, that all of them had these symbols and these flags that they were flying. It was like the anger and shock, like you just kept going on a seesaw back and forth between them. So it was different in a way, and the alphabet became this container for the work, right, to think about it. And so it has some beautiful properties, right? Like if you're a poet, like it's got built-in alliteration, right? In a way, it's got certain like sonic qualities that happen, but it also is a really unique way of trying to hold the whole thing together, right? The documentary in the past had been always a historical trajectory, and the alphabet makes it different, right? And the alphabet takes us back to our very earliest roots, right, of like pre-K, sitting on our parents' lap, learning to read A is for apple, B is for bear, or whatever book we had, right? It's like, it's so deeply elemental in a way to our being as writers and thinkers and readers. And so that was really, I found the form very powerful.
Yeah, it comes across, definitely. I do, of course, I love that line, and I had to write it down. If there's still an America after today, ravens will devour it. Because it ties in so nicely with what we know about ravens and crows, which is they do recognize, they if you wrong them, they will remember and tell others somehow, which is amazing. But
let me interrupt you for a second, because like the birds of prey are in both, right? And the pandemic is in both. So I'm curious why you felt drawn to the birds of prey during the pandemic. Like, there's a big choice out there. You know, you could do like bluebirds, right? You could do a cardinal, right? Mm-hmm. But these birds of prey seems like, why? And how do you think that was connected to the pandemic?
Oh, wow. Yeah, I think the vultures, well, I think some of the news was of literal, like, American eagles attacking drones, vultures. I honestly don't really know, I don't quite have an answer for that, other than I just felt so compelled by them and thinking about, I mean, the virus was, you know, there was all this talk in 2020 of, like, how the virus got transmitted. And so it's like I drew some pangolins because, that was, like, one idea. And I don't know if that is what ended up, that was the truth of, like, where it came from, actually. But I became interested in, like, that relationship of humans and animals and what can be transmitted from one to the other. And somehow that took the form of lots of birds of prey.
Yeah, I mean, it was also a time, I think, that we were, I don't know, maybe feeling our bodies more, right? Like we sensed a vulnerability that was even more than maybe our normal vulnerability in a particular time. And that I feel like I was like, you know, we're all doing, and we remember back then, like these food pickups, you know, and places were leaving stuff outside and you'd go get it, right? So I'd be in my car on people here, like the Taconic Parkway, right? And every time you're on the Taconic, there's turkey vultures on a deer carcass. There is a bald eagle hawks on the road. There are crows on top of squirrels, rabbits, mice, etc. Like it's a I drive back to White Plains to work back and forth all the time, and it's like I perpetually see these. In fact, when we were trying to set up an appointment to talk about this, I was like, this is what I saw on my road to the Taconic today. It was two hawks, three turkey vultures, five crows. And so it it felt kind of part of the landscape here too. And I know you started in the desert, but then you moved up here.
Yeah, yeah. So maybe it was a premonition.
Premonition.
Yeah. Oh yeah. So that that you know, if there is still America, it almost it's a little ominous. It's almost like oh why are you documenting this? And it's like part of me is like it is so in your face up here because there's so many Trump signs everywhere, and it's just kind of like saying like don't look away at this. You know, I'm gonna put this in poems, so you can't not deal with it.
Mm-hmm.
And I like that, and I think that you know, if that kind of conditional if there is, and it things seem so dire that it's like it doesn't seem dramatic or you know this kind of overblown idea to kind of consider like if there is still. So I'm wondering just like what your thoughts are about that, you know, mm-hmm. if.
Yeah, I think that, you know, I remember at one point I was reading submissions for a magazine and in Submittable, right? And there were all these poems in particular that were coming through. And this was, you know, about, I don't know, 6 to 8 months, maybe 8 months to a year into the pandemic. And I was reading the submissions of poems and I'm like, all right, we've got basically an emerging fascism, right, happening in our country. And I don't say that lightly. Like, I've read all of Gramsci's prison notebooks, right? I kind of, like, have a sense, you know, like, a decent, I don't just throw that out as a F word in my poem, right? And we've got, at this point, a pandemic that we don't yet have a vaccine for. And the poems felt like they could have been poems from any point in history, right? And so... Mm-hmm. I think there's, on one side, a benefit to that, but I felt something was really lacking. Mm-hmm. And then I was like, well, I feel like I need to write into that gap in a way. Like, here is, I'm driving around and I see everywhere the don't tread on me flag, right? And so that's part of my everyday existence driving around up here, right? That's not like some weird thing that I see once in a while, right? That... the closed Berkshire Mall or going into, you know, one, I can't remember what it was. Oh, an abandoned Lord and Taylor in Albany to get my booster shot, right? Mm-hmm. Like that's, wow. So like you talk about, like yeah. I go back to, you know, Basho's Narrow Road to the Deep North, right? Like of just like, here are my travels. Here's what I see. Mm-hmm. Here is my poem, right? Like that kind of level of, documenting my everydayness, you know, in poets that I know we love, like Paul Blackburn and others, right? Like, how do we document this Route 20 and the Taconic Parkway and the dead roadkill and the lack of boosters and the abandoned malls and all of this stuff? And so I just tried to find a way through the vehicle of the alphabet and through this yeah. seasonal approach, which I really just, I felt like I needed a couple forms working, right? The four seasons, the alphabet, and the documentary, right? And with those, I could kind of talk about my worldview between 2020 and 2024.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, it's true. I mean, I drive by a sign every day through Philmont. You know, everyone, you know, you're all like, uh-huh. It's like, Nazi low life impeach Biden.
Apostrophe S.
Yeah, no apostrophe S. So it's like I literally wrote. Yes. So I literally am so fixated on that apostrophe S and low lifes, and definitely like made it into my poem. And
mm-hmm.
a lot of my poem now, long poem, is about driving
mm-hmm.
and things that. We
yeah.
see. And
we
so
do it up here a lot.
Roadkill.
Yeah.
There's birds of prey. There's Trump signs.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So I like that. It's like you're not filtering that out.
Right.
Yeah. Does anyone have any questions for Mark?
Or for Stacy?
I had my turn.
No. Yeah, and so the question was whether I started 26 poems on the day of the insurrection. And no, I don't have that kind of stamina. So what it was is that, you know, certain moments kind of bring about a kind of a pressure I feel inside to kind of start writing. You know, and that was, there are certain moments, this being one, right, watching that on television. A second one, which is the next poem, the spring poem, was the racist massacre at Top Supermarket in Buffalo, my hometown. And just like sitting utterly stunned in front of the television. And so then the process becomes one of like, you know, Wordsworth says it's emotion recollected in tranquility, right? And so it's like stepping back, starting to locate all the documentation for this work, and then trying to think through it in a way. This one I wanted to feel a little bit, if you read the whole thing through, kind of almost like cinematic in a way, like you were watching your way through the insurrection that was happening, but then bringing these other techniques in, right? Like the focus on the letters of the alphabet, for example. So it was really like sensing something that over time, I always used to talk, even to my students, I talk about like writing really sucks mostly. Like it's a terrible practice to be involved in, right? It's like you just feel worthless most of the time. Everything you put on the page is terrible at the beginning. I mean, maybe it's terrible at the end, but at least at the beginning, it's terrible, right? And so I always used to use this image that, because I used to fish a lot when I was a kid, right? Excuse me. And so it was like, you know, when a fish gets hooked and you see it, it jumps, it's doing everything it possibly can to throw that, right? So as a writer, when you have an idea, I'm like that fish, right? And I'm just trying to get rid of that hook. I don't want to do the work. I don't want to sit at my desk or whatever for countless hours and tell my family, like, I'm going down to write or whatever. Like, I don't want to do that, right? I just get rid of that hook from my mouth. But certain things like the buildup to that election in 2020, the attack on the U.S. Capitol January 6th, the Tops massacre, I couldn't throw them, right? I couldn't stop thinking about them. And so that was when I knew that I had to start collecting material, start working, start writing. Thank you for the question.
If in your
I think the summary was Stacy has moments of joy and I do not. That's my super quick summary. There's some joy. It's you know, I have a note here, actually. I have a note at the bottom of the first two poems after I read them that I felt like it needed a transition song into January 6th that was something like Leonard Cohen's You Want It Darker, right? It's like, do you think abandoned malls and COVID are bad? Just wait to see what comes next. But, you know, I get asked this question, and last time I got asked it, it was very similar, as I always bring up the famous quote by Bertolt Brecht, who said, you know, will there be singing in the dark times? Yes, there will be singing about the dark times. So in a way, it is a song about the reality of those moments, right? And I think if there is joy, it's the hope that, you know, a certain kind of politics that brought about January 6th might eventually die, right? And so this is the ravens watching over and the crows. That's why the carrion birds, the birds of prey are in it, because they're waiting to eat up the flesh of this thing that hopefully will pass, but for reasons we all know in America have never passed, right? And continually keep coming back, whether it's the 1700s or whether it's George Floyd or whether it's January 6th or whatever, right? So the hope of the birds, my birds at least, is that that at some point might cease, right? So that's it's not a lot of joy, but it's a glimmer of hope. If there's a final question, we can do it. But otherwise, I'm just so thankful for everybody coming out. One final question, anybody? Thank you all. Jeffrey.
Thank you.
Thank you, Stacy and Mark, so much for being here. Thank you all for attending. Those listening at home, thanks for listening. Just say quickly that our next event here in the space will be a conversation between Marjorie Wellish, whose beautiful artwork is up right now, and Steve Clay on the 27th. And lots of virtual stuff coming up next Thursday. Mark Wunderlich will be leading whoever of us show up through a Diane Seuss poem, continuing our Close Readings in a Virtual Space series. Lots more coming up, so if you haven't signed our mailing list, please do so. Watch the space, as they say, and lovely to have the reminder that even if we're singing about awful things, we are still singing. So thank you all so much. See you again soon.
Yeah, thank you. That was great.